All right, good morning. And it's good to be in the Lord's house. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And Brother Lamar was looking to teach his lesson from here this morning, and sometimes you may wish he had by the time we're through, but I'm just saying that, you know, it was a very good lesson. He was talking about, you know, the woman that was caught in a very act of adultery. And he said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And it kind of goes along with what I'll be looking at this morning about, you know, showing love towards others, showing mercy, showing that, you know, looking at, like Brother Lamar said this morning, we're to compare ourselves with God, compare ourselves with Jesus, and not compare ourselves with others, you know. Because the first thing people want to say is, you know, well, look what so-and-so is doing. Look what so-and-so, you know, look at this. I know that sin and they're doing this. You know, we're not to compare ourselves with them, but we're to compare ourselves with the Word of God and what it says. Make sure that we line up with Him. Now, before we get started, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to thank You for the opportunity to come to Your house this morning and worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, just want to thank You for all those that have come out this morning, Lord God, and pray that they've prepared their hearts, Lord, to hear Your word and apply it to their lives, Lord. And help me, Lord, just give me Your word, Lord. Just give me Your unction, Your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Just help us to be with us. You said we're two or more gathered together in Your name. There are You in the midst of them. Be in our midst this morning, Lord God, and just thank You for Brother Lamar and his message this morning. Just thank You, Lord, and bless him, Lord. Bless Brother Joey, Lord. And all those that couldn't make it to Your house, Lord, You know those that are sick, and You're the great physician, Lord. We love You and thank You for all these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Something that got me looking at this. I was looking at love, and there's so much about love, and it goes from so many different ways. You can look at, you know, love of man for God, look at love of God for man, look at love of man for mankind, man for each other, and man for the world, and man for, you know, there's so many different ways you can look at it. And I got to thinking about different things, and thought about, you know, my daddy. You know, he never once told me he loved me, but he didn't have to. He showed it, you know. And we got to think that love shouldn't be just a word, but it should be in action. Amen. What we do, you know, we can say we love each other, but to do it and prove it and show it is more important. Like I said, my daddy didn't say it, but he showed it in so many different ways. He worked hard and provided food, provided a roof over our heads, you know, and clothes and anything really that we asked for, you know, he would provide. You know, just like, sort of like our Heavenly Father does. You know, He provides, He tells us, you know, the seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. He's talking about these things like that roof over your head, the clothes that you wear, the food that you eat, you know, all that you have, you know, God provides. And I got thinking about that and different things about love, but as I was looking at, you know, people nonchalantly saying, I love you, if you ever watch the show Reba, it's a comedy that comes on. Well, she had divorced Brock, and she was starting to date again. And she liked this one guy, and he told her he loved her. And she said, well, I love you too. And then she felt real guilty because she said, I don't know why I said it out of response. She said she said it just because he said it, you know. And that was the thing about it. And then she had to go back and try to undo what she had done, try to tell him that she didn't really love him, but she was saying that because he said it, you know. And I got to thinking about how, you know, we'll say that we love God, but are we doing it, you know, because we're provoked to? There's so many that, you know, especially these, what they call mega churches, where they have the altar call and thousands come to the altar. And like Brother Joey said many times, that, you know, he had done it many times because didn't want to feel, you know, left out. Come to the altar because he didn't want to be the only one sitting in the pew and everybody else done went to the altar. You know, we're pressured to say I love you sometimes. And we should do it, but like the Bible says, you know, we love him because he first loved us. Like also Brother Lamar was talking about when he said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, that the word so is so precious. But it is God loved us first, you know, or we would have no interest in him, because we know it always starts with God. All right. Looking at Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start with verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. You know, but before I go any further, you know, I got to thinking about these things and thinking about how we react towards others, especially myself. When I say we, I'm looking at myself. Sometimes when I teach and preach, it's to myself, you know, because I think about when I know of somebody in need, am I doing all that I can to help them? When somebody asks me to go a mile, am I going twain, as the Bible says? When someone asks me to do something, am I going out of the way? When someone asks to borrow something, you know, or someone takes something, do I give them my cloak, as the Bible says? You know, do I go above and beyond like the Lord does for us? Because that's the way we are to do. But I think of it, you know, I try to put it to myself, and a lot of times I fall way short, you know. And but I just thought about that, because we're to compare ourselves with God and not with others. So each time I read and I study and I teach or pray, preach, you know, it's always comparing my life with what I'm reading. And that's what we all should do. But this morning, the main thing I want us to look at is love in action. You know, when we do something, when we say we love somebody, are we showing it? Are we doing it? You know, and here, as he lists all these things, okay, we're going down to verse 37 says, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, and we'll come back to this one verse right here where he talks about my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we in the hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall I answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of these of the least, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know, and that's what we need to think about when we're looking at our lives, looking at how we treat others regardless of who they are. The reason I said I wanted to come back to verse 40 is because he says, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. John MacArthur was saying that he says, my brethren, he said that he was talking about disciples. And others say, you know, he's talking about fellow Christians. And then there's those who say he's talking about your neighbors, or those you come in contact with, or the world. And we know that there's so many verses tell us not to have fellowship with the world, you know, not to love the world, but we're to, you got to define that. You got to look at, you know, we know who the world is. That's those who are not Christians, those we come in contact with outside the church, you know, those atheists, those agnostic, those who just don't believe in God, and those who fake their belief in God, those who, you know, are just not real. So what we do, you know, we still show them love, but we don't, like he said, love not the world, but he's not saying don't show them love. We're to show them love, but we're not to get involved in the things that they're involved in. We're not to get in conversation with the things they have conversations about. We're not to become part of them, but we are to point out, you know, point to Christ and point to righteousness and things that are right and things that are wrong. You know, let them know that, you know, well, the reason I don't do that is because I'm a Christian and I know that that's wrong, you know. And, you know, we let them know right from wrong by God's word. We let them know what God's word says. But we do this in love. We don't do this just to condemn them and make them feel bad or make them want to leave. But we do it to let them know that there is a God in heaven who loves them. You know, and we want to point to him always. All right, as I was looking at this and thinking about the brethren and the verse there and what he's saying, you know, who we're to do these things to, you know, we may not know someone's a brethren. For example, the Good Samaritan. All right, turn to Luke in chapter 10. I don't know how long we'll be this morning, but as Brother Lamar has said, you know, such as I have, I will give you. What the Lord has given me, that's what you're going to get. It may not be but a few minutes, or it may, you know, be our usual time, but whatever it is, it'll be what the Lord has given me this morning. All right, starting in chapter 10 of Luke and verse 27, and you can go back and read the rest of it, but we're going to start right here, because this is the verse that most of my notes were on this one verse, but as I got to reading and looking along, you know, anyway, we start off in Matthew. All right, verse 27 says, And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So then we'd have to define who the neighbor is, you know. And but we think about this, first of all, first and foremost, you know, when we look at love, we're to love God unconditionally, the way he loved us. We're to love God, you know, you hear of a lot of people get mad at God over certain things, certain situations. And we got to remember, God is in control of all things. You know, there's people, a guy at work, even this week, a guy was saying, he was saying something about God being in control, and he said, you know, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his promise. But he said, you know, people don't want to realize that when you're going through something, it's going to work towards good. You might be sick. You might be hurting. You might be, you know, like with my hip problems. If I hadn't went through this, I probably couldn't relate to somebody else who is going through it. You know, but now, you know, I saw that, and it seemed crazy, you know, everything about it was just seemed so crazy because, I get to work and it'd start off hurting and I get to work and it felt pretty good, you know, but maybe there ain't nothing, maybe it's arthritis. And I go to get in the car and I couldn't get in the car. I could not bend my leg. You know, I stand outside the car holding on to the roof, holding on to the door and trying to figure out how am I going to get in the car? I can't bend my leg. You know, and I'm like, this is crazy. you know. And last few days, it's been getting better and better and better. And I contribute that to the prayer of the righteous, you know, people praying. And I got to looking at that and looking at, you know, how we deal with things and see things, and, you know, but we got to remember God is in control. But anyway, the guy at work was saying that, you know, that people don't understand even those bad circumstances. God is in control of that. And I told him, I said, you know, me and you might be the only two around here that believe that. Because I hear so many that want to say that, you know, well, that's not of God. That's not God. I said, you know, God ordains these things. God ordains, you know, my hip. I might say, you know, they said, well, that's not of God. That's the devil attacking your hip, and that's all this and that. And God, the devil can only do what God allows him to do. You know, you got to look at Job. You think, you know, he said, consider my servant Job. He offered Job up. He said, devil, just, you know, you can't take his life. He said, do what you want to him. And so the devil can only do what God allows him to do. And a lot of people don't believe that, even though it's plain as day in the Word of God. And they'll say, you know, well, God's not going to do this and not going to do that. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. You know, he can. He is the God of all things and even our existence. But anyway, I got to think about that. And it's loving God, even when you're going through something, say, well, Lord, you know, I know this is painful, or I know this hurts, or I know whatever it is I'm going through, the sickness or financial problems or whatever it may be. Remember, God is in control of circumstances. God is in control of everything. And, you know, and just pray that he will help you to recognize that you can help someone else when you get through it. Like I tell my supervisor, you know, I tell him, well, I can see a light at the end of the tunnel. He'll start doing something to prevent leaks in certain areas of the water heater. And I said, well, I can see a light at the end of the tunnel. I said, when that gets done, you know, I won't have to worry about that anymore, you know. And anyway, but we tell them, you know, that we see God working in things. We see it all works together for good. I can appreciate water heaters running good after they've run real bad, you know. And I can appreciate, you know, I have to apply it to my life and what I'm going through and things, you know. And I can see when things are bad, you know, I can see that God's showing me that, you know, to appreciate those good days so I can share it with others, you know, that I've seen the good and the bad, that I've went through the valley to get to the top of the mountain, you know. And that's, and me and that one guy at work, we talk about that a lot, about how seeing God in the worst, you know, helps you to praise him even in the best, you know, because we have to look at everything and point to God. All right, I'm gonna get started here now. Verse 27 again, it says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. If we don't get nothing else out of the sermon this morning, let's get that. You know, love the Lord completely and thy neighbor as thyself. If you can't put others first, you know, how we expect God to bless us and help us and strengthen us and show us, you know, if we can't help others. Verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So how many times have we done that? How many times have we saw somebody broke down and went around them and never looked back? You know, how many times have we saw somebody who needed help and conveniently went the other direction, you know? We have to think of that and think about, there's another guy at work. We we got this one model water heater called 100 gallon, and we got different versions of it. We got the 18 flue 100 gallon, 16 flue 100 gallon, the ASME, the GP 100 gallon. There's like 10 different versions of this one big, huge 28-inch diameter tank, and some of them weigh close to 500 pounds. And that's the ones that really give me trouble with my hip. But there's a guy, what I wanted to point out with, there's another welder that me and him kind of work together on a lot of things, you know, do salvage welding together, and just about any kind of odds and ends, he's the supervisor, picked me and him to work on it together, you know. Well, he can be doing his job and see me struggling, and he will come down there and help me, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, the love of God, you know, it's the love of God that constrains us to do what we do. You know, he don't have to do that. The supervisor didn't tell him to come help me. Lead man didn't tell him to come help me. But he saw me struggling and had compassion and come and help me. And I think about that, you know. And that's what we should do. That's what, you know, we see somebody struggling, we shouldn't have to be told. We should love as a practice. I think it was Life's Application Bible was talking about that. He said love should be a habit. Love should be a practice. Love should be our daily thoughts. Love should be, you know, whatever someone says and does and, you know, around us. We should think about, what can I do that is compassionate? What can I do that would help them? What can I do that would point to Christ? What can I do that would show that I'm Christ-like? What, you know, it constantly should be, you know, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called. You know, if we're to walk worthy, we're to show love, because God so loved us. So we're to show love others. You know, and then so many times it says that, you know, as God showed us love, we're to show others. You know, what better friend than one who will give up his life for another? And do you know that Jesus Christ gave up his life, which, you know, people say they took it, but they didn't take it. He gave it up, you know. And it says he gave up the ghost. He didn't, you know, they didn't take it from him. And he done it for us. And God gave his son for us. And we should look at that, think that, you know, we should have that kind of compassion for other people. Okay, verse 31, I'm gonna go on down. It says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that went, and he saw him and passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked upon him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, and I think about the two that went by and passed on the other side. That would be like, you know, me and Brother Lamar or Brother Joey passing by somebody in need and getting on the other side so we can't be seen, so we don't, you know, so they don't see us and say, hey, you know, Brother Lamar or Brother Jack passed right by me knowing I needed help and didn't even look this way, you know. We think about that. You know, it could be someone who's trying to live for God. It could be any one of us, not just us three that I'm mentioning, but it could be any one of us. And we see others, we don't want to be like the Levite or the priest, but we want to be like this Good Samaritan. The one you least expect to help them is the one who helps them. And that's the way we should be. So the Samaritan had compassion on him. It says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, then when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest ye was neighbor unto that fell upon the thieves? So which one was the neighbor? Which one was doing right? Which one was And that's what I wanted to point out with, as we looked at verse 40 in Matthew 25, you know, he says the brethren, and they all, you know, which ones done good unto others? You know, and he said, this that you've done unto the least of the brethren, you have done unto me. Well, if you look at and comparing it with this, you know, this is kind of the same. This guy was in the ditch. This guy was beat up. This guy needed help. And which one of them helped him? You know, which one? And it would be the righteous, the one who was doing right. You know, you think about that. Not only did he help him, but he bound him up, took care of him, got him a place to stay, and paid his bill. And said, if there's any more, I'll pay that too. You know, that's what I said earlier about going a mile when the Bible tells us to go the extra mile, go the second mile, go above and beyond that which people ask. You know, if somebody takes something from you, give them additional. You know, and I think about that and think about my life and think about how many times do I say, I don't have time? How many of us, if this guy was in the ditch and he needed help, would say, I'm on my way to work, I'm on my way to the doctor, I'm on my way to see my mama, I'm on my way, I'm always on my way. How about being on somebody else's way? You know, how about, you know, we need to think about that. How about helping others? We know they're in need to help them. Said, I'm always looking at myself, and I'm guilty of being too busy. You know, we think about Martha and Mary, you know, and one was busy about doing this and that. Martha was, and Mary done nothing but sat there and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. You know, she was doing what was needful. She was doing what really needed doing. And how many times are we too busy to help others, too busy to stop and say, okay, I'll help you out, you know. And a lot of times it wouldn't take but a minute, you know. There's been one instance, there was a guy I used to be, I'd pull in, somehow I'd get behind him going to work every day. And one morning he was broke down, and I recognized the car, so I pulled over, and sure enough, he was sitting there, his car broke down, and knew that he was going to be late for work. And the way Rheem is set up, if you're late for work or miss the day before the holiday or the day after the holiday, you don't get paid for the holiday. So, and this was the day before the holiday. And anyway, I stopped to help him. And I didn't know what was involved, what was going to take. But the Lord blessed the situation where all he had to do was grab his lunch bag and get in the car with me and go on to work. You know, I didn't know whether it was going to be where I needed to help him change a tire or help him do something that might make me late for work. But that was one time with the Lord. I'd done something, and I thought about it before I'd done it, you know. I would want him to do the same thing for me. You know, if I was broke down, I'd like for him to stop and check on me, you know. But there's different situations like that. We need to think not to always say, I don't have time. We need to look at our time and use our time well. Invest our time to the glory of God. Invest our time in what we say and what we do and what we think, you know, to the glory of God. It can be, like I said, about my daddy, you know, and whenever he always provided for us. But when he would ask me to do something, you know, I'd try to do it. It was because I love him. But, you know, like the Bible says about Jesus first loved us, I knew that he loved me, even though he never said it. Even on his, even when he was dying, I told him I loved him. One of my English teachers told me, she said, before your daddy dies, you need to tell him you love him. I said, well, you know, I had never done it before, you know, so I was doing the same thing he had done. He had never said it, and I had never said it. So I decided I was going to say it, you know, before he died. And so I told him I loved him before he died, but he never would actually say it. He said, well, I do you too. But just the thought, you know, that he always provided, he always showed his love. And I didn't have to, you know, force it. I didn't have to you know, like on the show Reba, I didn't have to, by me saying it, I wasn't saying it to get him to say it. And I'd never really thought about it till my English teacher had told me that was something I really needed to do. So I did it, you know. So she kind of encouraged me to do it. And so I did. All right, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And when I told Brother Lamar, I said a couple of weeks ago, I kind of got me a little outline ready just in case Brother Lamar wanted me to speak. I didn't know, you know, so I got something ready. And after I got to looking at it, you know, I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is about love, about charity, you know, about it being above all things. And you can go back and read that, and it goes along with what we're looking here, and it may be where our Sunday school lesson goes next month, but I'm not promising anything yet. But anyway, 1 John chapter 4. Let's see, we'll go ahead and start with the first verse. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." I left the not out. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. All right, you know, everybody remembers verse 4. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we've got to remember that he tells us before that, you know, to understand which ones are of God and which ones are not of God. And those that confess that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, that's the true ones. That's the ones that really are. And those are the ones that really show love to Christ. All right, verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." And you think about the world, you know, if they got a choice between listening to a Christian and listening to a scientist, which ones are going to listen to? Well, the scientist got all these facts and all this and that, and, you know, well, we got facts too. We know that God's word is true, and we can look back and say that, you know, it's so simple. Look at crime. Is crime support the Bible? No. Does people hate crime? Yeah, they hate crime. But, you know, if you say, well, thou shalt not steal. Well, that's of the Bible. We'll go ahead and steal. Well, but that's crime. Which one do you prefer? I would rather somebody didn't steal from me. But, you know, whether I'm a Christian or not a Christian, I'd rather them not steal from me. But thou shalt not steal. Things of the Bible, the commandments, you know, they should not be grievous. You know, things that we think about of God, and to us that are born of God, we understand them and respect them, and they're so easy to us. You know, God sheds that light on it. We see it and we say, well, how come the world can't see that? How come the world can't see, you know, being evil, doing things, you know, of the world, even if you didn't know God? Right and wrong should be so simple. You know, but people will choose wrong over right because they don't know God. Because God hadn't shed that love in their hearts. All right, verse 6 says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Like I said, you know, we can tell the difference. We can see when someone is speaking the word or if it's not. You know, one thing, we read our Bible and we know whether something lines up with Scripture or not. We can say, well, somebody says, here's a good example. You know, if you're not rich and famous, you don't have plenty of money, a big house and four cars and a boat and ski jet and all, well, you ain't living right. Because God will bless you above and beyond that which you ask. So he's going to give you all that if you're really serving him. Is that of God or is that not of us? Not of God. Right. We can distinguish that. We can look at that. We can tell that prosperity gospel is not taught in the Bible. You know, we can see that. So we can discern the spirit of error or the spirit of truth. Because we know Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that his word is true. All right, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we think about that, and we think about love and what love and charity really is. We think that, you know, it involves God. You know, if it's true and it's from the heart, it's going to have God in it. All right, verse 9 says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Hereby is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Alright, when we look at, like I said, many times we see the word world, and we think about that. There was a guy several years ago that used to work at Ream, and he would take that word literally every time. Every time the Bible would say, of the world, he said, oh, that's everybody. But that's not everybody. There's a separation, you know. And we have to think about, you know, when he tells us to not love the world, he that loveth the world hateth God. You know, he's talking about those worldly things, those people who are of the world, not of God. Man, he's not talking about everybody in general. Anyway, verse 15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we think about, you know, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You know, every time I hear the word fear and, you know, reading in the scripture, I think of that verse. All right, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's the main verse I wanted to get to before I do stop. I've got a ton more. I hadn't even started on my notes here, but just to give you an idea, looking at, you know, I'm gonna repeat this one verse just so you'll know that this is what we want to look at. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. All right, Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 7, 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, we got to first say, you know, that He is God and that He is our faithful God. And we know that He keeps His covenants and that we love Him and that we should keep His commandments and they should not be grievous. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul." Just Joshua 22:5 says to take diligent heed to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And Joshua 23:11 says, Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. He tells us, you know, take diligent heed, take good heed to, you know, to be fervent in it. Psalms 18:1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." We think about where does our strength come from, but from the Lord. And we should love Him not just because He gives us that strength, because He is our strength. We can do nothing without Him. Psalms 31:23 says, "O love the Lord, all ye His saints." That's a pretty simple verse. You know, love the Lord, all ye His saints. But do we need reminding of that? Believe it or not, we do. You know, because we think about all that God does for us, and we need to remember, you know, that He loved us first. We love Him, but it's because He first loved us. In Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And people take this verse as that prosperity verse. You know, they'll think, well, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. All you got to do is love Him, you know, and delight yourself in Him. Well, we're to delight ourselves in Him, and we're to love Him, but what is our desires? Should be Him. Should be things of God. Should be spiritual things. And not that He won't give us physical things, but we should desire those spiritual things. You know, that's why He tells us to meditate on Him day and night. Meditate on His Word, on His statutes, on His ways. And then Psalms 145:20 says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him." You know, that in itself would be encouraging for us to love God, is knowing that He will preserve us. He will keep us. And 2 John 6 says, "This is love, that we walk after His commandments." And Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." All right, I just want to get a few of them verses in. I was going to, you know, make comments on each one, but if you think about it and you hear in God's Word, you know, if we've done nothing but stand here and read God's Word, you should be able to let it minister to your hearts and let it talk to you. Let God's Word preach to you, because it is God that works through His Word. You know, it may be Brother Joey or Brother Lamar or me or anybody up here, you know, speaking God's Word, but instead of listening to the speaker, listen to the originator, the author. The author of it is Jesus Christ. And that's who we should listen to. All right, well, I'm going to stop right here, and I really appreciate your attention. Hope you got a little something out of it. And just remember, love should be an action and not just a word. Amen. Amen.